Hello, everyone. This is Allie.
Hi, this is Tiara.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Welcome back. So today we have a very special guest, as promised, from part one. That was published last week. Today we have Jake Kent, who is an influencer and a communications coach, a sales closer, and runs a YouTube channel dedicated to helping build better men.
And we need that so bad, like so bad. So I admire Jake and everything he's doing, you know, especially today. It's great to have a positive male role model, especially in a society, especially in the West, where a lot of boys and men lack that. So, you know, I have great respect for what Jake does.
I do too. And so if you haven't listened to last week's episode, we highly recommend that you go back and listen to it. But last week we discussed how men view women. So I had interviewed three people in their 20s, 30s, and 50s. And I found a lot of commonalities among all of them on how we women treat men, how they view women. And so we decided to bring on a male and his perspective. And if you guys didn't listen to last week's episode, I actually met Jake at a coffee shop. He was eavesdropping on me and my friend's conversation, and he wanted to jump into the conversation before we left. So let's give a warm welcome to Jake. Jake, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, it's me, the eavesdropper. It's good to be here with you all.
So, Jake, when we sat down and had a discussion, you had said that women have become so toxic that men want nothing to do with us.
Kind of hurts my feelings, not gonna lie.
So, I was wondering if you could enlighten us on that statement.
I think that might have been either taken out of context or maybe slightly exaggerated. Or maybe this is an example of how women hear what men say.
Wow.
And what they do.
Oh, he's calling us out. That's okay.
Well, I think out of context, right, it's very easy to, maybe I did say those words, but I think context is always really important.
Yeah.
And I think that there are a lot of individuals in our day and age, both men and women, that are, maybe we have less empathy, and maybe we're a little bit more divided than we've been in recent days, especially in our culture in the United States.
Yeah.
We give less grace to people. We also maybe have less of our own needs met, and we're coming from a place of needing a lot of things, including connection, physical connection, emotional connection, spiritual connection, relational connection, psychological connection. We're not getting those needs met. And as a culture, instead of sometimes holding ourselves to a specific standard and treating other people the way that we want to be treated, sometimes we're treating other people in a way to get what we need, and not in consideration of what they need. And there's we could bring that into a man and woman discussion. We could bring that into a societal, like a civilization curve of growth and decay, which would be super fun to talk about, because there are studies and books on this, and it's playing out the way that was predicted like 40 years ago. So we could take it in many different ways. So is there more toxic people around? Maybe. Not just women, but are women part of that? Probably.
Okay, now you're kind of jogging my memory, and we're going back to that conversation that we had at the coffee shop. And you did say that this has been over a 40-year period where, like, there's been hardcore feminists. I think you referenced feminism in waves of three waves. Is that correct?
There is multiple waves of feminism. Yes.
Okay. And do you kind of want to walk us towards those waves and how you feel that we have women have evolved?
You know, I don't think that I'm necessarily an expert or even super well informed on that topic. So if I go into that, I think that I would definitely get called out for being less than than highly educated. So it wouldn't be my preference. But I think that what we might be able to agree on is that feminism has changed both in energy, perhaps in intent, or maybe the original intent is just obfuscated, or it's a little bit behind the scenes. And please, I think as we go through these topics, viewers or listeners, I should say, please give grace to all of us, including myself, because I'm not perfect. I'm a man that's trying. And so, like with feminism, right? I think the original idea was equality, right? When it comes to wages, when it comes to many different things. So I'm 100% in agreement that that's great. That's great. I want that for everybody, not just for sexes, for races, for ethnicities, for everybody, right? We need to love each other more and have empathy and treat everybody like human beings. And I think that feminism has progressed, like all movements do, and sometimes movements become more radical, right? If we take a look at organizational psychology, things pick up momentum and then things change. And to me, I have heard in my experiences over the past 10 to 20 years, not I'm demanding equal wages. But I've heard more firsthand experience, more of like men are evil. I've heard more of like men are horrible. There is even, you know, social media memes and like trends. Like one was, I'm gonna butcher it, but it's like, would you rather be in a forest with a man or a bear?
Oh, the bear thing is crazy.
And you know, like the thing is, women are like, I would take the bear.
Yeah.
I would take the savage bear over a random man.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's kind of telling that that's even a trend. Could you imagine the opposite? If a man, like the trend was men be like, would you rather take a, I don't even know what the opposite would be. Would you rather take a ravenous panda bear over a woman? You know, they'd be like, oh, I'd take the animal. That's incredibly degrading to humanity, regardless of gender.
So we were talking about the bear, the man versus bear thing, and I have seen a lot of that, especially on TikTok. And
I have not.
So yeah, so the whole concept is like, it's ridiculous. I mean, what he said is spot on. It's essentially like these scenarios that we will see when it comes to men and women. A lot of times it'll be like a man who's abusive, or perhaps a woman just left a guy and she was like, oh my God, this is the most toxic relationship I've been in. I'll choose the bear every single time. And so the concept is like, in most scenarios and situations, you're safer with a bear than you are with a man, which is, it's obscene, right? Like, it's just so extreme. But like, that's the kind of stuff that we see, and that's the kind of stuff that influences people. And as far as demonizing men, like, yeah, I have seen that shift over time in the last 5 to 10 years, especially when you talk about things like toxic masculinity and like the whole thing with the school shooters, and they're like, well, they're all men. And so that tells you a lot about men. So, I mean, I see a lot of that. And I just think that many times we're not looking at the bigger picture. It's just we see these scenarios and we draw these conclusions specifically about men without looking deeper into the societal dynamics that are creating these type of situations. So absolutely, I see what Jake means in that regard, for sure.
I do too. And it's really unfortunate that this keeps happening, because it's like we are training our society to, it's like the battle of the sexes. Yeah. It's like we are training our society to basically detest each other.
I know.
And it's just like, why is this happening? And it's like, why? I mean, I do agree with Jake. We lack compassion. We lack empathy. And I don't know. We lack connection. We lack spiritual connection. So it's like, I don't know how this has shifted to battle of the sexes. That's what I'm going to call it.
Oh, yeah. It's so, I'm sorry. So yesterday, me and Allie were, when we did the prior recording, we were talking about, I don't know if you've heard of Shira Seven, and she does like the whole drizzle thing when it comes to like some of this information she tells women, like that, you know, if he doesn't have any money, don't give him the time and energy. If he's not paying the bill for dinner, walk away, like leave him there, like just this toxic, crazy stuff. And so men have come up with their own thing. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. She says sprinkle, sprinkle, and men in response say drizzle, drizzle, where it's like, oh, well, if she wants to leave you with the bill, then like you don't have to ever take her out again. Like, you know, sneak out, go to the bathroom, sneak out, and then like, you know, she'll just leave her there by herself. Like just stuff in response to that. And it's so, it turns into battle of the sexes, sprinkle, sprinkle versus drizzle, drizzle. And it's so toxic. And I'm just like, man, like, Allie's wondering why I don't date. Hey, well, this is a big reason why. So, like, yeah, it's just wild out there. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard of that specific kind of.
Neither have I.
Sprinkle, sprinkle, drinkle, drink, dribble, drizzle, drizzle, or whatever. But
I would suggest looking
jiggle,
up her
jiggle,
name. Yeah, her name's Shira Seven, and she's hugely influential. I mean, she's got millions of followers that are women that are taking this advice and applying it. And I'm just like, wow, wow, wow. How did we get here?
Yeah, I probably won't look it up. but the reason for it is because, like, I think this would actually be an interesting point maybe to talk about a little bit later, but I actually have made a very concerted effort to minimize the exposure to this type of stuff.
And
the reason for it is it's similar to, like, I went through a phase in my life where I was like, I want to know everything that's going on in the world. I want to be educated about every single event. And you know what happened? Instead of becoming, well, I did become more educated, but you know what happened? I got really fucking depressed. I got really, really sad about what was going on, because I was reading the news, like, really? You know, all these different news things. And I was like, wow, everything's bad. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to start sounding like conspiracy theory, but this is the truth. Like, you need to look at the intentions, motivations, and the things behind the fact. And why was I getting depressed? It's because what sells more? Negative news. Why? Because our brains are hardwired to look for danger. So when we see danger in the news, we need to look at it more, right? It's a response mechanism to our, like, our animalistic DNA that, like, we need to look out for the danger. So anyways, with that kind of stuff, no, like, you know, at this point, when it comes to male-female relationships and the dynamics, I do not go look for more of that shit, because, like, it's, I don't want to feed my brain with more evidence of something bad that I need to either, like, go kill, avoid, all this kind of stuff. Like, I try to protect my energy and actively create my own reality, which I think that would be a fun way to end this conversation for people that want to figure out how to step out of this and actually re-engage with the opposite sex. If it's okay, I would love to actually take this in a unique direction.
Sure.
That might not sound like men and women.
Sure.
But, you know, Ali, you kind of mentioned something, which is like, now it's battle of the sexes. Now it's this versus that. I think it's really interesting if we chunk up outside of men versus women. And then we take a look at, does this exist anywhere else? Does pitting two groups of people against the other and either dehumanizing them or one-dimensionalizing them exist? And the answer is unequivocally yes in every single area, right? It's actually embedded into our genetics to other people And for those not familiar with what othering is, this is not my concept. This is a very well-studied academically, or it's a well academically studied subject, that when you are in a group of people, we'll call it an in-group, which means the popular, or a fancier word, the hegemonic, the powerful group, the normative group, that you other the other. You one-dimensionalize them. You make them a simple one-page thing instead of a human being. And where can we see this? We can see this in nation versus nation, culture versus culture, race versus race. We can see it in every single aspect of our human existence. Sports team versus sports team. Sport versus sport, right? Like, it exists everywhere. So first question is, and we don't have to get into this, but is that part of our human DNA to just simply other? And there might be evidence that that is our base genetic like instinct, because what is different or foreign is usually what, back to the news thing, dangerous. So when we didn't have civilization in society, when something was different, when somebody looked different from us, what did we do? We said, that's dangerous and new. We need to either go kill it, eat it, or something similar. And that's a very hard programming to overwrite, especially when that group is doing something to actively hurt you in the current moment, or that's like not... Yeah, so that programming is extremely hard to overcome, especially when what? When the other group is currently doing something that could be hurting your group, right? It gets exacerbated. It gets worse. Like, it's very hard to have empathy when that other group is either hurting you or they're attacking you physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. So this isn't, I think it's important to realize and find agreement that this is a human condition thing to pit groups against one another, especially when there's more tension. So that's, well, I'm curious, do you guys agree with that? Do you think that is the case? Do you think that it's bullshit? And I'm not looking for any specific answer. I think it's a good conversation to have.
No, I'm in full agreement. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was actually a couple months ago reading a book that talked about the exact same thing, how humans, we kind of have like two aspects of our brain. We have that more primitive aspect of our brain that carries the programming and the wounding, and we act upon it. And then we have this higher instinct that requires conscious effort and awareness. And so I think that many of us are still operating from that lower level base instincts, and it takes massive shifts and work to escape that and apply that higher awareness to some of our behaviors and actions. And in mass, we just were not quite there yet. But I think having discussions like this is sort of an indication that we know that there's an issue, and that we can get to that place with time and effort and continuous conversations like and discussions like this.
Yeah, I also agree. Yeah, I also agree. This is why TR and I decided to go down this rabbit hole in our podcast, because we do care about society. And as I said in last week's episode, there are two sides to every story. And so it's like TR and I have talked about, you know, the women's point of view and why we feel like dating has really shifted. And so I was just like, why don't we start talking to some men? And long behold, the universe put us in a coffee shop together, and here we are.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, we could talk about also maybe what I'm seeing from the men's side, which is not like the fun middle ground that personally I like to come at with empathy right now. We can also talk about what it actually looks like what men are saying from that side too. Yes, but I think that
please
that,
do.
Yeah. Well, okay, before we go there, let's also talk about No, I think it's important to find the middle ground so that way we can understand maybe like how to get back to it. But yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's also we kind of briefly mentioned you know, this topic of polarity management, which, you know, is a book, it's a concept, but it's very, very proven in organizational development and psychology, which just a fancy way for listeners, like if you're not familiar with that, that's how do organizations, how do companies, how do movements, how do these things grow? Because you think about them as like these conceptual things. Oh, it's a company. Well, a company is alive. A company is alive because it is a creation of humans. And whatever humans are in control of it, whatever humans are inside of it, the company takes on that life. And so polarity management is this concept that says that there is always going to be two groups of people inside of a company, inside of an organization. What are those two groups? Those two groups, one, they're going to be the sacred guards of the past. And then there's going to be the other group, which is the crusaders for newness. And in this reality, they are always going to be at war with one another. The people that are the protectors of the old will want to keep things as they are. The crusaders will want to change things and break them down over and over to create something new, something great, something better, right? And neither of them are bad. They're both necessary. But the problem is this. When you have these two groups, if you think about progress as, okay, let's create a X and Y, like, scale. You know what I mean? So, like, if we're back in math class, a graph where there is, like, a y-axis going up and down, and we'll consider that axis as progress, just progress towards like whatever fucking reality we want in the future. And then the x-axis is just like change, right? It's just change in either direction. So like from let's say from liberal to conservative, right? That's in our governments a lot. Now what happens governments, what do? We swing back and forth between liberalism and conservatism. I didn't say that right, forgive me. but we swing back and forth to the left and to the right, to the left and to the right. All these promises of change that if we move to the opposite other direction, that we'll finally get it. But what actually just happens? We have horizontal movement. We get no movement on the y-axis, which is what? That's actually progress.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Inside of almost any organization, inside of any thing with a lot of humans that are trying to figure out progress, we almost always make change in the horizontal direction and don't make any fucking progress towards our goals. And this exists also, you know, in the relationship, you know, between men and women, in my beliefs, is that we're oscillating between, you know, basically power of the sexes, back to, you know, kind of, I think something that you said a little bit earlier, Allie, you know, the battle of the sexes, this thing between us, and that it's about like power or who's right, who's wrong, who has wronged the other group in the past. And that, like, it doesn't scare me because I understand it and I have empathy, but it bothers me because that's not how we're going to progress. Like, you know, by you know, this drizzle, you know, trinkle, whatever the fuck it is that you said earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, like this whole, like this transactional nature that we're in right now between men and women, like, what can you give me? I'll only maybe give you something if you give me everything, is fucking horrible. And this is not going to help us progress. This is going to just create a equal and opposite reaction. That is a law of the universe. It is a spiritual tenet as well. It's not just a physical law, it's a spiritual law. And it is going to have an equal and opposite reaction that women are not going to like. And you know what? They're already not liking it. Like, you know, they're you know, Tiara, you're like, well, why the fuck can't I find a, you know, like, I don't even want to be in the dating game. Yeah. Yeah. Us men too. We don't want to be in the dating game. Like, we're fucking done with this shit. Like, nope, not looking for that.
You know, it's interesting that you said that we're kind of oscillating between extremes here when it comes to many facets of our society. And I've never considered that that's something that we're doing in dating too. Like, it makes sense. I never considered that. So, you know, me and Allie were having the discussion about like how to date and how men want women to sort of approach more and take more action and be more direct. But when, you know, I was coming up, a lot of the things I learned around dating was not to pursue a man. You never, ever pursue a man. Don't do that, ever. What you do is you show interest in subtle, flirty ways to give him the invitation to come and engage and interact. And again, that's just what I was taught coming up. And there were whole books written about this. I read this book about the rules and how to apply them on men. And like,
we got those books too. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. And a lot of stuff's just not working anymore. So it's just like, I'm just like, wow. And I think a lot of women are, you know, feeling that too. Like, especially us millennial women who grew up reading a lot of that stuff and being taught a lot of that stuff. Now we're just like, oh my gosh, these same things and tactics that I use aren't working. Like, what do I do in this new landscape? We don't freaking know. I don't fucking know. So that's why.
I'm curious from both of you, what are the extremely obvious yet incredibly subtle ways that women show interest so that way they are pursued? Like, describe that for me. Let's describe it for the audience.
Oh, absolutely. So like, for example, Allie calls it eye flirting. Essentially what you're doing is you're making eye contact with a guy and you're smiling at him, or just like, you know, like just giving him that subtle interest. Like, I see you, you know, there's an attraction here. Like, what's up?
Well, let's, if there's any men listening to this, you know, all the women are probably like, oh yeah, like obviously, eye flirting. What the fuck does that mean? If there's a man listening to this, like, what is eye flirting?
Eye flirting is eye flirting. Like, I'm looking at you, making eye contact with you. Like, you see me, I see you. Sometimes I smile. Like
predatorily, like you're like looking at them, like you're like gonna kill them and like stalk them, or like what kind of, like, no, break it down. You know, this is also like really helpful, you know, cross gender thing. Like, because sure, women, you're like, oh no, it's just like, it's like this. You should just know what that is. No, like, men think very like mechanically about a lot of this stuff. Like, there's very few men that are just like, oh, it is what it is. Like, don't you know? It's like, it's eye flirting. It's like when you're looking at somebody and, you know, you're flirting. What does that mean?
Well, it's like, okay. So if you make eye contact, and if you're making eye contact with each other, then it's from a woman's perspective, it's giving the invitation to come be approached. Like,
I understand, but like, what does that look like? Like, so if I just like stare at you intently, like not looking away.
Okay.
You know, like, is that eye flirting?
It depends, you know, because you have to be able to interpret like body language, right? It's an aspect of body language. Right. So
it is an aspect of body language.
You know, I'm wondering if us women just kind of have more of a broader grasp of body language in that regard. But like, if a guy is just staring at me and it's just like a blank stare and he's just looking at it, there's like no facial expression. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to be like, what the fuck is he doing? But if he's looking and like at least smiling subtly, or at least like, you know, like,
what if he's like licking his lips seductively?
Okay. That's not the same. At least like in my mind, like, that's not the same thing. But like, I've done this where I've like made eye contact with the guy and he smiles and I smile back at him. And to me, that's like, okay, that's that invitation. So like,
and what happened? What happened after?
Nothing. I actually think this guy was in a relationship, so that kind of makes sense. But for the most part, when I've done it in the past and like thought I was being open and direct when it came to my interest, like, it doesn't progress beyond that. And so I wonder if that's like a sign of the times. Like, does that make sense?
Sign of the time. It's like very dramatic in a biblical way. Like, we're in like relationship revelation right now.
Well, like, yeah, that's Armageddon, what it feels like.
We kind of are. Right. We kind of are. Wow. I mean,
okay.
Would you? So you disagree?
No, just being dramatic. You're like, yes, the four horsemen of loneliness are coming.
Okay.
Yes.
And it looks like no kids, no sex, no dinners, and no cuddling. That's the worst.
Okay, well, there's a lot of us thinking that on both sexes. But okay, I'm going to give you another example. Flipping your hair at a guy. So in the book, the rules, this was one of the rules. Hey, if you want to show interest to a man, look in his direction, flip your hair, you know, like he'll get it.
I have a very funny feeling this book was written by a woman.
Oh, absolutely. It was written by two women, actually. Like, they teamed up.
Jesus Christ.
They teamed up and they wrote this rules Bible that millions of women read.
I love it. I love it that you have a rules
I've never
Bible.
Read
and
it.
When I ask you to define the rules, you just, you're like, you know.
Well, and that's what the book says. It's just like, oh, he should know. Like, which is ridiculous now that I think about it in hindsight.
I've never read this book. I've never heard of this book. Tiara was talking about it yesterday when we were recording, and I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
The time-tested rules of landing Mr. Right. Like, that's the rules Bible. And there's like three versions of them. That's what I read. And there's other stuff in there that's like designed to weed out the guys who are not fully interested or invested. So they'll say things like, don't text him back right away. Like, make him wait for it.
Okay. Actually, so let's put a pin in that for a second.
Okay.
Because I think that's a really, that's a good discussion. Well, let's get into that. But first, I put a note down. I'm going to bring us back there.
Okay, perfect.
But first, let's kind of go back into this rules and showing interest and stuff like that. Now, I think that we've discovered that there are rules with not explicit instructions in this rule book. This rule book seemingly has a lot of room for interpretation on the female side, let alone the male side.
It does.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Not going to make a comment. But okay. Now, what I will think, or what's interesting about this, though, is that I think contextually, we're also in a period where things have lost. Okay. There's a couple different things. One, things have lost meaning.
Mm.
Like, our gender roles and like those behaviors, those rules are out the fucking window.
Right, right.
Like, they're just gone.
Yeah.
And we can talk about why. That's a long discussion. I think it's less relevant right now to this podcast. But with that, we have something else that's really important. So with this demonization of men that's going on, all of those things that you have said, men, a lot of men, have interpreted them as signs of flirting. They've gone and approached a woman and have actually gotten, like, I don't know, persecuted. It was extremely dramatic. But they have gotten actively, like, not politely declined, but very, very hurtfully declined. And like, nobody wants that, right? As a man, like, if our whole thing is like, dude, you got to approach 1,000 women. You just got to go do the thing, right? Look for the signs of interest. Go do the thing 1,000 times. It's the numbers game, which is also like. And the men of rule, or the rules of men, is you just got to do that. It's your thing you got to do.
It's a numbers
game.
Yeah.
If imagine for you the pain. First, women don't want to, usually, and they don't have to approach 1,000 men. So imagine though that now that was your role, and you're like, okay, well, I got to approach 1,000 men, but instead of them being like, oh, you know, I'm very flattered, but no, not interested. You know, maybe you misinterpreted something, or maybe you misread something, you know, from your rule book that apparently wasn't extremely explicit. So you're like, oh, fuck, I misinterpreted it. But at least they were kind about it. But instead, they were like, why the fuck would you ever think that? Like, get away from me. And then they went on social media, and then they posted your interaction with them, and, like, you shamed them. Imagine, like, or they did that to you. Sorry. I got lost in the sauce there. But imagine, like, seeing this about your sisters and you, that, like, when you approach somebody, that they don't actively even be polite with their decline, but they want to like hurt you or something.
Yeah.
Or that they have no regulation of how they feel. Almost disgusting. And then you're like, oh, I gotta do this more? This is painful.
All right. All right.
And we talked about that in last week's episode too, where the consensus across the board was that women lie to themselves and women don't know what they really want. And also women don't handle, like women take rejection harder than men do. And that's why, and women kind of use that as an excuse for not stepping up to the plate. Oh, you disagree?
I disagree that women take rejection harder than men.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And why is that?
What makes you say that women take rejection? Like, what's your underpinning of that thought?
Well, it wasn't my underpinning. This was just an opinion from men that I talked to. But women are typically more in tune with their emotions than men are. Typically, just generalizing stereotypes here. And so, yeah, because we're more in tune with our emotions and we operate more from our emotions, at least we're supposed to, it's just because we have more awareness around it, it's just the rejection is more blatant and it hurts us more because we're more in tune with our emotions.
So this is really interesting. So if a man is more in touch with his emotions, which I think would make the sign of a healthier male, rejection is going to hurt him more. So
absolutely.
If a man needs to face rejection, then he needs to not be in touch with his emotions. Is that the logical conclusion that we've come to? A man that can handle rejection is not in touch with his emotions. So therefore, if a man needs to experience rejection, that he needs to not be in touch with his emotions in order to survive.
I could see that, like,
I could see that too
being necessary in some aspects.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that if you numb yourself, any person, like man or woman, if you numb yourself, rejection becomes easier. It's like, yeah, it doesn't fucking matter, you know? What I do disagree with is that, or you didn't imply this, but I disagree with the sentiment that that makes somebody healthier, male or female, that you're desensitized.
No, I don't.
I definitely did not. Yeah, I definitely did not.
You didn't
say
that.
It makes you healthier. It doesn't. Yeah.
I would say that I don't think that women take rejection harder. I think women have less exposure to it. And because of that, you don't know what to do. Not you specifically, but like someone who has never faced rejection doesn't know what to do with rejection. And for the reality, like men have to experience rejection in pretty much every aspect of their life, like consistently. Like a man's value is not that we don't have really inherent value, you know, and that's an interesting truth to live as a man. Like, you know, when we're born, we don't have value. We have to build our value through our accomplishments, through our successes, through our, I think I already said successes, but achievements, through the kind of like mini empire that we build, through our reputation. And this is not like, oh, so bad as a man. It's also one of the beauties about it is like at the end of the day, end of a man's life, you have the final say in kind of like what your status is. But we have to face rejection our entire life. And I also think that men don't know how to face rejection as much anymore. I also think that something underpinning that a lot of people don't know, including men, is that the reason that a lot of men struggle with facing rejection now is they don't have communities of support in their families and also with other men.
Absolutely.
Men are not very connected to other men. As in, right, like imagine putting yourself in the situation you're a man and you have to go approach 100 women. And one, it still stings, right? Like unless you're just Mr. Playboy that does it every single night, like it still stinks.
Yeah.
But you don't have any positive reinforcement that like, oh no, dude, like you're an amazing person. Like you are good looking. Like you have a lot to offer to people. You just have the voice of 1,000 people saying no, like mm-hmm. you're not good enough, or you're not this, or you're not that. Like it starts to, if you hear those comments and that's all you hear, that starts to become, well, it makes you first question the reality of like, maybe that's true. First, it's like, well, why can't I have what I want? Or why can't I connect with the women that I want? Why can't I get the things that I'm desiring? And then it starts to bleed into maybe this is just who I am, right? Like it's natural that we start to look at our external reality and the experiences we're having and then say, maybe it's because of me. Mm. We do this in childhood. This is where most of our trauma comes from, right? It's the internalization of external situations that we have zero control over. And yes, men have control over it. Like we can do a lot to change our success with women, but there is that reality, especially when you don't have another voice, a community, a group of men, a family, or a parent, a single parent even, that's like, no, you're incredible. Like, don't listen to them. Like you are amazing. And the science shows it takes 10 positive comments to counteract one negative comment. And we are in a void of positivity.
Yeah. So that was very profound. And it makes total sense. And I'm curious, Jake, in your perspective, you know, you said that men don't necessarily have the tools to handle rejection the same way anymore. Do you think that that's why we've seen this proliferation of this whole incel movements and like this black pill, red pill concept, is because these are men that are kind of like looking for answers in that and have sort of taken this very negative perspective? And these are whole communities, right? These are whole communities of men who believe this stuff and tell other men other things around this. Do you think that this is sort of the outcome of that?
I think it's such a complex thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, all of this needs to be handled with sensitivity, but those groups, you know, let's look at the reality. They get so much hate. And I'm not saying that they're right, but they get so much hate and so much ostracization. They get ostracized.
Yeah, they get ostracized.
And what does that do? It just reinforces
Absolutely.
The negative feedback loop.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes it worse.
Yeah.
Right? So, one, let's send them love that they're in pain, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
First. Second, an interesting phenomenon is, not phenomenon, but it's just the reality, is that what have they found in those communities? They found community.
Exactly.
I'm not saying it's the good community, but they found community.
Exactly.
They found other people that they feel like are like them.
Yeah.
That they actually aren't alone. You know, so that makes sense, right? And that's, it's not, I wouldn't, like, this is very dramatic, and I don't want to put this on the record as this is how I feel, but it's a little like trauma bonding.
Yeah.
You know, like you sometimes find people that are going through the same thing, and then you actually reinforce that reality and make it more so.
Yeah.
Because like that's just your consciousness.
Mm.
So it's difficult to look at that. And I just want to send those communities love, because it's a very slippery slope as a man. And this is a complex issue, but it's a very slippery slope where, like, number one, there are also things we could look at when it comes to, you know, man's attractiveness holistically on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. to one dimensionalize it down of like, hey, this guy's a 10 out of 10. He's Brad Pitt, you know, with, you know,
Chad.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
All these, he's Giga Chad, right?
Yeah.
Down to, let's just say, even, you know, a man that's a 6, right, has a significantly different experience on the higher end of average, above average. His experience is extremely different. I actually, okay, real quick. Do you guys believe that most women are going for like a 9 or 10? Like,
absolutely.
Okay.
So,
but it's not only 9s or 10s. It's how much money do they make, and how tall are they, and what color is their hair, and
so lots of specifications.
It's a whole package. Yeah.
Okay, but that being said, so if we said like a woman's version of a 10, there are probably generalistic things that a woman wants, right? Like when it comes to security, like, you know, just base human instinct kind of things, like security, something. Most women probably good genetics.
Security and providing. I would say. Providing is definitely a key component there.
Now, with that, so do you believe, though, that most women are kind of looking for really like that 8, 9, 10 option?
Yeah, I mean, especially online, like online dating for certain, absolutely. Because again, you know, we were talking about this last week, how with online, you don't really have much to go off except the photo. Most people don't really fill out a full profile. So it's like, well, what's the easiest thing to do? You're going to look at, all right, well, who's the hottest guy here? Like, who's going to catch my eye? In public, I would say that's maybe a little different, because at least, particularly for me, I have the opportunity to chat with this person and see if there's actually some type of deeper connection. And you can't really do that the same way online. So I think it depends. But with online, absolutely, like, we're looking for those hot guys. Like, it's just, I mean, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And men do it too, right?
Like, absolutely. We know it's like
that's a massive way of one dimensionalizing people. It is, which is a problem with it.
Yeah.
But right. So here's the thing, like, women will 100%, you know, they have a lot more choices than men, right? Like, you go in a Bumble, like, they've done studies on this. Like, I can't remember the specific study, but like, women have 100x the amount of options that a man has. Like, for every 100, for 100 swipes on like an app, right, a man will actually get like 1 to 2 on average. Like, a woman for 100 people like swiping on them will probably have somewhere like 70. Like, and we're not talking about like a 10, like, yeah, you know, whatever that version is. We're talking about like women that are probably in the category of like 6, 7, 8. So for a man, they have to really be in that 9, 10, 8, 9, 10 to really experience like that kind of like, oh, I have a lot of options. So for a man that's lower than that, his reality, generally speaking, is more of kind of, it's dramatic, but like of scarcity, right? More of scarcity. And with that, if they can't face that rejection, they don't have the support, or if they're not willing to do what it's required to become that man, you know, many of these different factors, it's very easy to fall into like, well, this is just how things are. I am going to be forever alone. I don't have the power to change this. It's a very, you know, dark pit.
It is.
It's a very dark pit. And it becomes self and reinforcing. Like, your actions reinforce that. You know, like, oh, what's the point? Why should I even go to some like an activity? I'm not going to meet anybody there. I never get, you know, interest. Why? Okay, so I should just isolate myself, or, you know, do the things that I want to do and do the things that require less social pain. Maybe it's, you know, play video games. Maybe it's just work on my car at night and drink a beer. Like, these things become self-reinforcing, especially when they don't have groups of, you know, men and friends or whatever it is to just go out and do the thing. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
It absolutely is a slippery slope. And I know that women also do struggle with this. Just shifting to the woman real quick, because I was on TikTok last night and I came across this TikToker who's a prominent matchmaker. And he said the number one question that I'm getting from women now, number one, like, doesn't even touch any of the other questions, is how do I get a man to marry me? And so as you're talking about like isolation, like, I know, I mean, TR just said it in the beginning of the episode, like, I don't even want to enter the dating game. So I know women also feel very isolated and feel like, I'm also going to die alone. And it's just like I said, it's going back to what I said earlier. It's like the battle of the sexes, where it's like either sex doesn't want anything to do with either sex because of a laundry list of reasons, on top of societal programming, on top of how, you know, how social media has shifted how we judge people on top of the economy. And so people are settling because of what they can provide. It's more about the 3D things of, well, how can they provide for me? Can they keep me safe versus the actual connection? I feel like the shifts of our needs have changed where it's like people don't care about deep connection anymore. It's just about, okay, how can I survive? Can you provide me with what I need so I can survive?
Yeah, we were talking about the lists that women have when it comes to men now, and how I think, especially when it comes to women who don't quite know what they want, I my perception on that is that I think we get kind of confused in regards to what matters more. That he checks all these boxes, or that we have a connection, and how much should each matter? And I think that's where I know personally for me, where I've kind of gotten tripped up a little bit, because I'm just like, well, I mean, yeah, I want him to be able to hold an intellectual conversation with me. I want him to be educated. I want him to have a career. But how much should that matter versus do we have a connection? Like, you know, and I don't think that's ever really fully defined. I think women have just become overly mental in that regard, and then we're just like, okay, this is a list of things, and that gets reinforced by all these influencers who are like, he better make money, he better look good, he better be sharp, he better have a trust fund,
he better be able to treat you right, he better be able to, you know, like, chivalry shouldn't be dead type deal.
Yeah, and so I think,
and so like, we feel like we need to be catered to and serviced to, and it's like the expectation of the man, it doesn't match like the whole reason for the feminist movement, and doesn't match, like, it's just, there's just been so many things that have just contributed to this clusterfuck that we now live in.
Definitely. Well, I'm curious, like, do you have any questions more about the man side, or even, like, as you're talking about this right here, you know, I think we're not gonna solve world peace here, but I think that we're moving more towards like, well, okay, cool, you know, there's both sides of this here, and you know, women expect a lot. Like, do you have specific questions about women's expectations and my thoughts, or like, what direction would you like to take it here?
Well, yeah, like, what do you expect from women? Like, knowing all the stereotypes and knowing how things have shifted, it's like, what do you expect from us? And I think I was really intrigued by that question, that women are going to matchmakers now and saying, how do I get a man to marry me? So obviously something has shifted on the man's side, where if women need to go to matchmakers and ask those types of questions, it's like, what's been going on the man's side?
Oh yeah, we were talking about how, like, your best bet is to use a matchmaker at this point, because, like, again, like, there are a lot of women who are just like, we don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, like, I don't know how to navigate this new landscape. Again, like, the tactics I use in the past aren't working. Like, it's just, yeah, matchmaking is the future, I think.
maybe. Well, okay. So I think let's get into the tactical things. Like, instead of just, I over intellectualize maybe, and I like to have empathy for both sides. So like, on the women, like, the things are not being recognized as signs. So logically, right, if it's like, well, they're not being recognized, what could you do? You could enhance the volume, the amplitude of the signs that you're sending, right? Until you find the results are actually working. So let's first say that a woman doesn't have to go from, I'm going to flip my hair and the guy should just know, to I'm going to walk up to him in the bar and be like, hey, I like your dick. You know, like, you don't need to go like 0 to 100. Like, you know, maybe we could go to like, okay, so he's, you know, I'm finding that like the hair flip is not being recognized 99% of the time here. What could I do? Maybe I could, number one, like, flip my hair. Okay, so he didn't come over. Maybe I could actually just walk over to him and just ask a question. I'll be like, I've never seen you around here.
Okay.
And see what happens, right? Like, I mean, does that sound scary to you?
Well, I know
like,
for Tiara. Yeah, I know for that Tiara, that's when Tiara gets really shy and that's when she runs.
That violates the rules. Right. No, I know at this point, the rules don't apply anymore. I get that.
Here's the thing, right? Like you can be right or you can have the results. Like sure. you can say, well, here's how things should be or here's how things are. Right. And the truth of the matter is like, you know, the world is not perfect in the way that like all of us want it. So we need to figure out a way forward together. And, you know, expecting men to all heal or all be for number one, like if we could instantly go back to the world where like gender roles were, I don't want to say traditional, like women had no power, but like, hey, this is my role as a man. I was taught women have their role as a woman. And like, these are the expectations. Like, okay, cool. I see a woman in a place. She like, you know, flips her hair. I know now it's safe to go up to her instead of the fucking cacophony of whatever the fuck is going on. And I don't know. I might get a mixed bag of shit when I approach. Like, oh, I might actually get yelled at. I might be called a creep, or I might actually go, you know, like have a relationship. I wish things were like that, but they're not, right? So we can't expect men to just go fix all of the problems. As women, like maybe it's time to say, hey, I can throw a little initiative, maybe, right? Or you could do the matchmaker. If you want to up your chances though, increase the amplitude of what you're doing to be noticed, right? And that can be something that's still very, very safe.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to make it something that's very safe for you and for them. Right. Like it's for example, it's always psychologically more safer for two people to talk about something outside of themselves. So instead of for like a man, this is the opposite. It would be easier for him to go up to you. And men don't realize this usually that are, you know, in those groups of people that struggle. It's easier for them to go up to a woman and be like, oh, wow. Like, you know, yeah, this bar's really like nice lighting, huh? Like it sets like a certain mood. Right, completely neutral, but starts a conversation. And as a woman, you'd be like, why can't men just do that? Like, they don't even need to tell me right away that I'm pretty, but like, why can't they just come up to me and just like have a, you know,
something?
But men don't realize that, right? But you could do the same thing. You could just be like, you could just like walk towards somebody, you know, and just be like, have you been here before? You know, right? That's taking more initiative. So you could increase the amplitude in that way. You could increase the amplitude of your body language. Historically, men are very, very bad at body language. Yeah. Extremely bad.
Yes.
So
like,
very.
Extremely
so bad.
Bad. Like when women are like, I gave him like 14 cues. And they're like, well, what did you do? Well, I looked at him a little longer than I should have, what was normal. Men don't fucking know. I flipped my hair. Like to us as a man, we probably didn't even notice that you have hair. And that it's different, you know, that's right. I'm being dramatic, but you know, like all of these things that are subtle, very few men are tuned into it. And generally, if there's any level of nervousness, what goes away? This is not a man thing. It's a human thing. Our presence. Presence is required to pick up things like body language, right? Because we're so into our head and we're thinking about like what's happening inside our reality. There's this thing called the spotlight effect, right? Which is like we think that everybody can see everything in our internal reality when nobody has any idea. This is a psychological phenomenon where like people can see through me. They know what I'm thinking, all this kind of stuff. People are, you could have a coffee stain all over your shirt in a bar and you can be like, oh my God, everybody thinks I'm a social outcast. Like, how could I ever come like this? Every single person in the bar had zero clue you came in with a messy shirt. They're thinking about their problems. They're thinking that other people can see through them, right? This is the spotlight effect. And this is what happens when we're in our head. Presence and our ability to see what's happening in the environment goes to nearly zero. So, right, if you are a woman that has more maybe emotional awareness, be emotionally aware about that, that men have less and maybe they need a little bit of help. But if you give the men the environment that says, hey, it's safe for you to be masculine, maybe it'll actually come out.
insightful. You know,
I love that.
I do too, actually. And you know, I have a friend who's been encouraging me, like almost like a task, where she's just been like, "Hey, if you see a hot guy, whether online or in person, just go up to him and tell him he's hot and that you think he's handsome, and then just walk away." It's just like, okay, well, you know, I can do that. So I've been experimenting with that, but it does take courage.
Yeah.
And I'm.
You
still
could do
that.
Even less than that, though. Like, I would say that the move to any female listeners that are like, you know, I'm willing to experiment, I would say make even like a lower, like that's a great jump, number one, but you could do it with less. Like you could, I cannot, okay. So number one, I think women need to realize that men's experience, like in your everyday reality, is literally not the same as yours. Mm-hmm. It is like you are playing two different video games. And women are like, no, this is like, nah, girl, like you don't even understand.
No, okay, we really don't. We have no fucking
like,
idea.
We really don't.
We're just like, wow.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me enlighten like something, and I'll start with the empathy, but this is so key to understanding something that's going on for men. So, okay. As a beautiful woman, right? Let's say you're walking down the street in New York City. Right? Like, what's that thing that as a beautiful woman walking down the street in New York City, like if somebody said, hey, like, how are you? What would most, you know, beautiful women think? Like, oh God, I'm so sick of being bothered. You know, like, get away from, you know, it's just kind of like this, I receive this all the time. Like, no, I don't want it, right? Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yes, and I have seen women on TikTok like say like, oh, I was traveling and it's just like, you walk down the street and everyone's turning their heads and it's just like, leave me alone. Like, I want to be unbothered. Yeah.
So, yeah. Most women their entire life have received what? Attention. So much attention that it's overstimulating to the point of, I don't want it.
I have done that.
Except from that cute guy. Except from that cute guy that I really want the attention from. Like, come talk to me. But everybody else, like, fucking ignore me, please. Like, I just want to live my life in peace, right? So, The desire for women is actually, leave me alone, please. Like, and it's not, it's overstimulation, which causes like annoyance and like frustration, but it's just coming from like, I just want my space, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's video game one. The experience for men, which women do not realize, is never receiving any attention. You are playing a game, especially now, where most of the time, where men, if I'm walking down a street, if I just want to make eye contact to just like feel like somebody sees me, 99.9% of people will look away from me because I'm a man. Because either they're intimidated, because they don't want me to engage with them. You know, right? Think about the opposite side. If women are like, leave me alone, what are they going to do with their eyes? They're going to avoid people. They're signaling they don't want to be contacted. They don't want to make a connection. Like, even if it's just eye contact, hey, how's it going today? Right? So the opposite side of that spectrum, the equal and opposite reaction, is men receive constantly isolation.
Interesting.
Can you imagine what it would be like?
No, but he's right. He's absolutely right. Yeah.
And then, right, think about the risk. Like, if you want to stack on, like, what women's desires for men, it's like, why don't they just come talk to me? Think about the social and psychological risk when all day you're constantly alone. And all you need is connection. All you need is somebody to see you as a human being. All you need is somebody to just, like, even if they don't want to have a romantic relationship with you, just be like, I see you as a person. And, yeah, that was a really cool conversation. Yeah. Can you think about the psychological, emotional risk it is for most men that are not hyper beautiful / successful, that have, you know, it's just like, you know, right, they want, women do connect with them. Like, everybody does. Everybody does. Like, you know, human attractiveness is 100% a charisma factor. It just is.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the majority of men, it's like, I'm actively not shunned, but like, people are not looking at me. People are not giving me attention. attention. People are not trying to get it. It is a very hard reality to exist in. And then you add on that social pressure of like, oh, I might actually get called like a freak or a perv or annoying, like all the, you know, just it's right. It becomes very difficult.
Yeah, very insightful.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it sounds like there's this need for more women to engage and be a little bit more
bold,
but also just to be understanding that, hey, this person has feelings, acknowledge them at minimum, even if he's approaching you or you're not interested. Like, there's still a subtle, respectable way to decline that without being a complete bitch.
And we talked about that last week in our episode,
yeah,
where that's what men, that was one of the things that, like, in those conversations I had, men were just like, we don't really understand why women have so much attitude and entitlement and like kind of look at us like, why are you talking to us? Like, go away. We don't want you here. And it's just like, where did the respect go of just politely declining? Like, I don't understand where that kindness went. I don't understand how we've shifted into this attitude, entitlement, judgmental place where it's just like, you know, have that awareness that this might be hard for them. And it's just like, treat others the way that you expect to be treated.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. I mean, and you know, the thing is, right, like, this is not a perfect reality. Like, we're having this conversation and guess what? There's going to be a guy that comes up to you that's extremely aggressive and will not take no for an answer if you're polite. And you do need to escalate into being somebody that knows how to communicate very sharply. But that doesn't mean that that's the majority.
Absolutely.
And also, right, another principle that's research is like, you know, so if you think about like online reviews, or you think about the voices that are loudest in social media, what, do you hear the most moderate? Do you hear the, yeah, you know, it was okay? Do you hear the ones that are like, yeah, you know, women are good, men are good, we both got problems? No, what do you hear? You hear the extremes.
Yeah.
When you see reviews online, it's 1 star or 5 stars. So we live in a society of, and it's part of our DNA, but of extremes. And those are the loudest voices. Yeah. It's also one of the things that, like, you know, social media, it's an echo chamber. And they know, they encourage extreme content because it gets views, watch time, which is what their intention is.
Yeah.
So, you know, with this being said, right, like, that's why I wanted to lead this conversation a little bit with empathy and understanding, is that this is not a perfect world. And there's no way that either of our genders are going to, like, find that perfect reality. It's just not the world we live in right now. So all we can do is have more understanding for both sides and be willing to extend ourselves a little bit more, to have a little bit more empathy, to also throw the seed in our brain of doubt about our own reality, to have the neural flexibility to say, like, maybe the way that I see it is not how things are. Maybe that woman that I'm looking at, maybe she actually won't shame me, or, you know, be mean to me if I go, you know, ask her something that's not like a super personal question. Maybe if I just, oh, you know, like, what's the cool bar, isn't it? Maybe she'll actually engage in a conversation. Or as a woman, you know, maybe it's worth it to, I do like the, like, this person's attractive, or there's something about him I'm curious about. Maybe I can just, like, go a little bit extra, even though it's not their traditional role or what I've been told. Like, what? Let me just see what happens. You know, from that reality, we have room to play. We're a little bit more flexible.
Absolutely. Wow, I've learned so much today.
No, I think we both have. And this is exactly why I wanted to take this little project on and, you know, have these discussions with males, because it's an important discussion. And I know plenty of people who don't want to be alone. I know plenty of people that say my greatest fear in life is dying alone or being alone. And I I think we need to find balance with, you know, within the connection of that, within the connection that we have with other people. But we also, you know, I think we have lost sight of really what truly matters, because we let all the noise and we let all the negativity and we let all the extremes enter our mind and let those things dictate our lives. And it's just like, you know, I see the problems. I actually try to like avoid social media as much as possible, because there's just so much extremist shit out there and people are feeding into this and buying into this, and it's really destroying society. And it's really heartbreaking, because I know plenty of people who actually want real connection, but they just don't know how to go about it. They don't know how to find it because of all the shit that we just talked about. And so I think it is important just to have these discussions, as hard as they are. I mean, some of the shit you said about women, like in those conversations, I was just like, you want, like, ouch, that hurts. But at the same time, I was like, you want to know what? You're right. And we need to hear these things.
No, we absolutely do. So that's why we appreciate you coming on the podcast, Jake, because we needed this perspective. And, you know, for the most part, it's just kind of been speculation and like guessing and, you know, doing radical stuff, yeah. Like, in my opinion, approaching a guy and telling him he's hot, that some guy, I don't know. Experimentation. So, you know, I loved that, well, you were encouraging in regards to that kind of thing, and that it didn't need to be that extreme, that it could be more subtle, which is actually makes me feel better.
Well, I appreciate it. And you know, I hope that and I'm also like, I would love to hear criticisms of men though, and we could talk about those, because the truth is always that both parties are culpable of something.
Yeah.
And you know, in the beginning, right, where Ali is asking me, like, so you say women are toxic. Like, oh boy. You know, it's like, no, like we're all really struggling, I think. And with that, I need to hear criticism. Men need to hear criticisms, because there's truth there too. Like, you know, with what I just said to you about, like, hey, maybe a woman should take a little bit more active role. Also, if men want to feel more masculine and have more masculine relationships, and this is 100% true, we need to learn the skills to lead in more masculine ways.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
This is, so it's not like women take on the role of being masculine. That's going to also contribute to the problem. Like, what I was saying is maybe create something a little safer because of where society is for men. But at the same time, like, you know, the most masculine men right now are going to win in this regard.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, women are starting to be more starving for it, you know, masculine men. And I don't mean giga chads that, you know, have a raging, you know, 13-foot penis that, you know, all these things. Right. I'm just like, you know, can you create a container that's where you lead, you're willing to express and be vulnerable, which most men, you know, our echo chamber is that being masculine means not having emotions. Mm. The most masculine thing that a man can do is having emotions, being vulnerable, but from a place of non-neediness, to say, this is who I am, this is what I need, and while I would love if I could create this with you, if you can't give it to me, I understand, and I'm going to go find it somewhere else. Mm. Like, that's pretty sexy to say.
Yeah. Right?
Because you're inviting somebody into that, but also not expecting it.
Right.
So would you say that, like, so Tiara and I have talked in previous episodes about how women have shifted into their masculinity, and a lot of men have shifted into their wounded feminine. And so would you say that because of those shifts, it's just, have men lost touch with their masculinity and their masculine energy?
I think that, yes, God, such a complex question to answer. Yeah. Like, I'm going to give my experience, because I think that's the only one I can speak authoritatively about without just conjecture. So I really struggled with dating in the United States. I've been living outside for the past, year and a half now, and I am not a passport bro, by the way. I'm not going to just like go and fuck women, across the world. but I what I have
Respect,
seen
respect.
Yeah.
is that in another way, I guess I am a passport bro because I do believe that the society in the US for men is not really conducive. Like the women in the US as a statistical probability are more masculinized because of things like feminism, because like, hey, I'm a woman, I can do everything myself. I have my own job. I don't need a man. And it's just like, okay, as a man that wants to be more masculine, well, you just told me you don't need me. You told me you don't need this. So like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, heard you loud and clear. And I didn't, that wasn't the reason I left, but as I've explored many different cultures of different, like, you go to Colombia, which is where, Ali and I met. It's extremely traditional in the roles. Like men are like
Very.
very maybe aggressive and like forward with that kind of stuff, and women are extremely submissive to the point of like, in my opinion, it was hard for me because I like a woman that has a lot of thoughts and opinions and like we can debate and this kind of stuff. I couldn't find that in Colombia because they were, in my opinion, like the majority is so submissive to the point that like that's not the role that they see themselves
Hmm.
in. So like what does a man do in that kind of society? I think you need to know like what you want to be. First, you need to do it for yourself. You have to do it for yourself. You can't do it for other people. And then number one, immediately cut ties with anybody that is not contributing to that. So if a woman recognize other people's statements about you, other the like whatever it is not a reality of you. It is their reality. So if a woman doesn't want like that kind of masculine energy, truly, you try to give it immediately. Number one, it's not a reflection of you, it's their reality. And that tells you that is not the woman for you. She's not in a place at that moment to receive a masculine.
Wow.
If you have the ability to go to other cultures where statistically you are more likely to find what you are looking for, it is a good option. And that a lot of women are not going to like hearing that. But, right now, we're not going to change the society of the US instantly. It's just not going to happen. So if you're, and as a woman, if you are looking for something specific, it might be a good idea to look somewhere else, even if it starts with like little vacations. You don't have the option to go move. Maybe start with like, go take a little time in another country and go see number one, that it's possible, that it's reality, but there are other realities out there. And that maybe that's where you're going to find what you're looking for. If you want a super traditional relationship, maybe somewhere like Colombia, or maybe somewhere that has very, there's other places, but that have those values. And that's the status norm. You're going to find a higher probability of what you want there.
Very interesting and
But he's
humbling.
absolutely right. Well, it's humbling, but it's he's absolutely right. Like I'm a world traveler. I've been to 60 countries. So it's just I've been able to really experience different cultures, and I've seen relationships I've seen relationships just in different cultures, and it's so different from the United States. And having been out of the United States, in and out of the United States for 9 years, it's just every time I go back, it's just the shifts and the dynamics and the energy. I'm just like, what is happening? Like the United States is just it, we're in a lot of trouble. And so, and I know that a lot of our listeners are from the United States. And so I love how you said you might have to leave. Like it's a suggestion. You might have to go find your person somewhere else. There's a very high probability you're just not going to find it in the United States, especially if you know what you're looking for and if you know what you want.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and also if you're interested in a more traditional role or traditional relationship dynamic, because in the United States, that whole trad concept gets demonized. Like the women who want to stay at home and work and cook and take care of the household and don't mind sharing that responsibility with the man who also provides, like, that gets demonized. And it's insane to me because, you know, I'm more in alignment with, like, that traditional dynamic. I prefer that. I prefer to be able to yield into my feminine for the most part. And oftentimes that's a departure from what women have been taught in the United States, thanks to feminism. So, you know, it's,
you know, the good news is that, like, you don't need to leave the US to at least get a taste of it. Like, for example, you know, if you want to be a little bit more traditional, you probably are going to find it in the South, like in the Southeast.
Yeah.
You'll probably have the highest likelihood of finding something like that. So it might be a little taste, right? Like, go see the way relationships look in the Southeast. The other thing is, I think it's really important that all of us, women, men, we stop complaining and we start solving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we're like, oh, women are like this, men are like that. It's like, well, number one, you're generalizing. Also recognize, and this is something in the United States, like, we're not super well educated that there's other societies. We don't travel that much. We don't know other
languages. No.
Recognize. No. Let me be the one to give you permission. The world is not the same everywhere. And it is one of the biggest lies that, like, in our society, that the world is the way it is. No, there is 1,000 realities out there. There's 1,000 ways to live out there. Go see it. Go see that things are different everywhere, because that crack in the matrix for you will show you that there is other places that are not just as good, but potentially, based off of who you are, 1,000 times better for you as a person, who you are, and also will give you a higher probability of success for what it is that you are looking for. I just moved to Argentina. It's been a lifelong dream of mine for some reasons. I had a really hard time dating in Colombia because I'm not that super hyper traditional guy that just wants a woman that's super, you know, submissive, like doesn't really talk that much, or, you know, just like let the man do the man. I like somebody that's intellectual and can have these things. Argentina is filled with those types of women. And since I got here, I have never had such, like, a radically paradigm shifting, like, week of just going on dates. And after being in Colombia, couldn't connect, couldn't have those things being here. And instantly all the women, I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, where has this been my entire life? Like, all of these are like standard deviations of compatibility above where what I was in Colombia, miles above the United States. And I'm like, oh, I found a place that I am not only let's just say desired in terms of like physical personality traits desired, but also the equal and opposite. Okay.
Yeah.
We found kind of, this sounds super, I found a hunting ground. No, but like, you know, I found a place that there's a very high probability of finding what I'm looking for the long.
Yeah.
And that's super exciting. So it's out there for you too.
Absolutely. In Argentina, you guys, like, honestly, they are some of the most beautiful people, like, physically beautiful people, men and women, like, in the world. So have to throw that tidbit in there.
The guys here are gorgeous. Like, they are.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Gorgeous. Like, the most beautiful people, men and women, I have ever, like, come across. I love Argentina. Very big advocate for Argentina. Well, Jake, is there anything else, any other tidbits, any advice that you would like to throw in there or add or contribute before we end this episode?
I think just number one, or really the synopsis is, like, on both sides, we need to empathize with the other side. Second, you need to understand really what you want. And that sounds like basic advice, but most of us don't actually know what we really want. And it's not like he has to be, you know, 6'5", blue eyes, trust fund. Like, that's not really what you want. You know, a lot of times it's you want to feel a certain way. You want to, you value certain things more than other. A great thing is to know what you don't want. Like, that's a great place to start, what you don't want. And from there, if it is a priority, you gotta do what it takes. You have to do what it takes. And sometimes that's being a little bit more flexible, personality-wise. Sometimes it means going to a different place. But know with that empathy that you start with is that everybody is trying and people are hurting. People are hurting. And when people hurt, they resort to lower levels of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is finding their needs. And usually when people find their needs are scarce, they're willing to sometimes not treat people well to get what they need. So it doesn't make it right, but that's often, you know, what we find in society. But it's not like that everywhere. It's not like that everywhere. So empathy, know what you want, and men aren't bad. We're trying to. We're humans.
And that's such a beautiful message. Jake, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation in the coffee shop. I have very much enjoyed meeting you and coming onto our podcast. This has been so enlightening. And this is exactly what we need to hear, as all these conversations aren't easy to have, but more tough conversations need to be had, which is why Tiara and I talk about some of the most randomest stuff that would probably get us canceled because people don't agree with our point of view, but this is the reality. And we've always really thrived to be authentic on this podcast and bring truth and logic that people really need to hear.
Yes, absolutely, man. Jake, thank you so much. This was very insightful. Again, I learned so much, and it's always good to hear the male perspective. And I think in a lot of circles, especially online, that we're missing that, especially the women's circles are absolutely missing that. Even when it comes to some of the books I've read in the past, there's no indication of the male perspective on any of this. No. And so this is so valuable. You know, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. And again, we really appreciate you joining us to have this discussion.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for tuning in. We hope that you extract some very important messages from this episode, and we will see you all next week.
All right. Take care, you guys.